Welcome to the Kamunda Nation podcast. My name is Josh Wolf, and I'm a developer advocate at Kamunda. This month, I'm speaking with Nico Rewalt. He's the tech lead, project lead, and chief marketing dude at BPM NIO. Welcome, Nico. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Can you please share with us your background and how you came to be in the place where you are now as the tech lead, project lead, chief marketing dude at BPM NIO?
I actually have quite some history in this whole modeling domain. So I think we started BPM NIO 2014, and it has been interesting ever since to me, building editing tools for BPMN, DMN, and related standards. I think something, when I joined Kamunda, I think 2012, we basically had an engine, right? We were using Activity at the time, contributing to Activity. The engine actually had an export API to generate an image of a BPMN diagram. But there wasn't much more. Like, you couldn't really conveniently create those BPMN diagrams. So what struck me from the beginning was the question, like, how can people actually use this? It's awesome if you have a great engine that just executes stuff, but if you can't actually draw those diagrams, which are so important, right? How can we ever be successful? And we were already successful at the point, right? It was already a product, but for me, the crucial part was missing, which is just a great accessible tooling to create those diagrams. And this is just something that fascinated me from the beginning. So I was, before we started BPMNIO, actually, we were forking a Red Hat BPMN Clips modeler, just rewrote it from scratch, more or less, added test coverage. We went from 160,000 lines of code down to 80,000 lines of code. In the end, it was much more stable, but it also was a decent BPMN editor, but it was just an Eclipse plugin. So this is our prior investment before we started with BPMNIO. Then we kind of thought about, okay, now we have a Eclipse plugin. That's good enough if our users are using Eclipse. But developers are using a lot of different tools, right? So nowadays, for example, a lot of people are just using Visual Studio Code, which is, under the hood, it's just a web-based, like it's an Electron application, right? Which is a web browser plus a Node backend. But also you have IntelliJ, for example, which is very prominent nowadays. Eclipse is still around. A lot of people are using it. But basically, it doesn't really work just to have to be in one ecosystem and have just a plugin, one of those editors. But really, we needed something that was a little bit more open. So what is more open than the web platform? So that was one of the ideas that we had after we did our first steps into building modeling tooling. And this is basically how I pitched this idea of web-based tooling over and over again. I think Jacob, myself, Jacob, CEO of Kamunda, we had a good lunch at some point. And then he offered me, do you want to build that web-based stuff you're always talking about? And so we did get started doing that.
So that kind of like also flows into this next question is like, what is BPMN.io? And what's the history behind it? So your personal history, you're obviously been there since the very beginning, at the inception of the whole thing. And so what did that become? What has that become? And how has it gone since that initial launch?
So initially, the idea was just to build a BPMN editor that is web-based. So a library and different from the existing tooling. So when we were going into this realm of modeling tools, web-based BPMN modeling tools, there were already other tools around. So for example, Oryx. Oryx is one tool which is open source, which has been developed at the HPI, Potsdam University, which was basically a modeling suite. It was both a front end and a back end, which from the architecture point of view, it gives you some opportunities, but it also has some challenges. For example, if it's also front end and a back end, it's not very easy to embed in whatever applications. So when we started, one thing that was clear is we wanted to build a front end only. Just a JavaScript library you can plug in into any web page. So you can make any web page, any application, a BPMN editor or a BPMN viewer. No backend required. So this was very clear from the beginning that we wanted to go with something like that. But we really focused on BPMN initially. This is why also it's called BPMNIO and not DMNIO or form.io. It's really, in the beginning, it was just BPMN tooling. But also OMG came around and said, well, it makes a lot of sense to have a standard for decisions. So we basically implemented tooling in the future for DMN. It's called DMN.js. And then we also implemented tooling for CMMN, which is a little bit less of a priority nowadays for us, because we found it's a standard that didn't really take off. We still have CMMN.js around. So we have tooling that allows you to build and edit CMMN diagrams. And then also we added stuff which is non-standard. So for example, we recognized that forms are extremely important as well. So in this whole BPM space, when it is about communicating processes and decisions, like basically the algorithms in your organizations, what are the things that are important for communicating that? Well, it's the process itself. This is why we have BPMN.js, so we're covered. It's also decisions. How are those decisions being made? Where DMN is a good standard. It's a great standard. It's a powerful standard. And so what is missing is like forms are also extremely important for users, like this in terms of being visual, right? Because forms is something that people, when you consider user task automation, forms is the language of that, right? So this is why Form.js nowadays is also part of our BPMNO family, because we want to basically provide the whole package of drawing tools, but also viewers and embedding libraries. So this is basically a little bit where we came from, actually being a BPMNIO, being a project that hosts BPMN.js, and then realizing, well, we're actually a project that hosts any kind of library that makes sense in this, what we at Camunda called it, like this BPM space, right? We built all the tooling around creating those diagrams, but also embedding them into your application.
So that makes a lot of sense for me in terms of like the business value for Camunda of having these libraries. What's the reasoning behind making them open source or source available as they are, and making this into like some project that's kind of in some sense very much supported by Camunda, but in some sense separate from or outside of Camunda in terms of like its brand, its identity on the web, all of that kind of thing? What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, it's kind of interesting and tough question to answer, but one of the reasons it's open source, it's basically me. I would imagine that's the case, because I was always pushing to make this thing available open source /source available, but also standalone, because it is something that is very, very valuable standalone outside Camunda. This is just something that I personally believe in. Maybe right or wrong, I don't know. But I'm a fan of the Unix philosophy, right? Do one thing and do it right. And as Camunda also, if you consider Camunda as a product, as a product stack, we're also fans of the Unix philosophy. Like, I want to give you one example. In C8, you have the core engine, which is open source, right? You have this auxiliary tooling around it, operate, task list, console, and so on. Those things, they interoperate with the core engine, but you don't have to use them. Right? You can decide this part that you want to use and this part you don't want to use. So it's really composable. If you look at Camunda from the architecture point of view, it's really a lot of tools that do one thing and do it right. And they are composed with each other. You can decide to pick one of these or not. And if you look in how many of our customers use our existing tooling, we're building a web modeler, but a lot of customers build their own web modeler. And how do they do that? They do that based on BPMNIO. So they basically use the existing tools that we provide out of the box as a building block, great tooling for modeling, which is also customizable, which is open, right? And they use it and build their custom modeling experiences. And this is something that, especially when they're in centers of excellence, for example, right, where they have a lot of staffing for it, they also see return on investment to invest heavily in this custom tooling. This is where having this BPMN editor standalone, not really like tied into Camunda, but really being standalone, being self-contained to a certain extent, helps a lot. So it helps us to build tooling that is reusable and customizable for our customers. It basically forces us to do that, because we always need to define interfaces. Also, beyond our customers, there is this case for, well, anytime we open up tools like BPMN in this case, Beepman.js and our tool. We open that up for the community and we do just a little bit of marketing. We make a name for ourselves. Like if you search for BPMN in JavaScript, you will find BPMN.js, right? So people will use it. They will naturally pick it up on the internet. They will naturally pick those things up. They will not be confused about automation because in many cases, they don't need automation. They just need a solution to draw and embed BPMN diagrams. Maybe they want to automate with something else. I heard, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Activity at some point, which is a competitor to Camunda, right? It's also another open source project which provide an engine. At some point, they based their modeling tooling on top of BPMN.io. So they are basically using a different engine, but they're still, at some point, they were also using the core. So this is one of the benefits that you as a library developer have, that a lot of people are basically just picking it up, but it's also a risk for us as a company, right? We as a company want to make sure to also secure our investment. And this is why BPMN.io, for example, is not 100% open source. So it's all source available. So you still need to embed the BPMN.io logo whenever you embed BPMN at it.
Small price to pay for all that code and functionality.
Honestly, that's a very small price to pay. I 100% agree with you. I mean, we started off 2014. That was basically February 2014 when we launched. We spent like 5 or 6 or 7 years of engineering effort in a core library that is very intuitive. People approach us on the forum and they literally ask us, I'm searching for something like AutoCAD or whatever, like some modeling dialect, some modeling language. And is there something from BPMN.io? And then we ask, like, no, there's not. But what exactly are you asking for? Well, I'm asking for tooling that works as good as BPMN.js. So they actually ask for the experience, right? So they, you've built tooling, and yes, there's room for improvement. There's always room for improvement, but you have tooling overall that just gets the job done, where this whole BPMN and this getting from your, you basically need to talk to people and you need to basically draw all those processes. You need to establish a shared language and synchronize over the image. This also is extremely complicated for people. So if the tooling is also complicated to use, if the tooling gets in your way as well, right? That's a problem. So we've built tooling that is not in your way as much as possible. And we see people actually recognizing that. And that's something you can just be proud of. That they are like, just do you have support for modeling dialect X? It has to be, we just want to have a tool that works for modeling dialect X in the BPMN.io way.
Yeah, so you touched on it here. But where is BPMN.io now? Where do you find BPMN.js? And what's the weirdest place that you've ever seen it?
That's a wide question. Where is it now? I mean, you could ask like what's a place? Like how mature is it? That's one way to look into this question. One way is to where to find it on the internet. That's another one.
I kind of mean it in the sense of like, is it it's in the desktop modeler? It's in the new web modeler in Camunda Platform 8, which everybody's nice. Asking okay. for and self-hosted. Is it in Visual Studio? Can you find it in Eclipse, you know?
So what are the tools that integrate it, right? In Camunda, yeah. But also outside of Camunda. If you look at the Camunda tool stack, you will see it in most of the tools that we built. So this is also where the investment from the Camunda side into BPMN.io pays off. Over and over again, because you will see it in our C7 platform, in Cockpit, but also TaskList. You will see it in C8 platform. I'm not sure about TaskList, but at least in Operate, in Optimize, in the web modeler, but also desktop modeler. You basically everywhere, either embedded as a viewer for BPMN, but then also as a viewer, consider it similar to OpenStreetMap, where also OpenStreetMap, you're able to add additional markers, right? So you are able to embed it as a viewer, but still add a lot of interactivity on the diagram. This is something where this is a way we embed it even in places which are not editors. So all of our tools are both editors to conveniently draw stuff, but also available as viewer distributions where you can annotate. And so this is basically the use case, how you would see those diagram BPMN.js in particular end up in operate, which is just viewing only. But for example, you see, okay, this is a place on in your process where a certain incident happened. So we'll just add a marker. Yeah, so basically it's added to most of our Camunda tools. The desktop modeler, as you know, is a standalone it's Camunda implementation tool, desktop, which you would use alongside your IDE. You would use Visual Studio Code or IntelliJ for programming. And whenever you want to edit and implement your processes, like your BPMN diagram or draw them, in the first place, you would use a Camunda desktop modeler. The web modeler is new, more or less, on the block, right? Which is part of Camunda 8 DAS. Over there, if you don't actually are heavily into the desktop development experience, right? But you just want to plug stuff together, then you basically have the web modeler. It is embedded there, but the diagrams are not actually saved on disk, but they are saved directly in the cloud. And you can share and collaborate with your colleagues on those diagrams. So yeah, this is where they are embedded as part of the Camunda stack, basically everywhere. Outside the Camunda stack, they are embedded in a lot of places as well. Many places we don't know of, many places that we do know of. So for example, if I look at the at BPMN.js, and there's some interesting statistics you can find, just where is BPMN.js used in open source projects or, you know, sources available to GitHub. So GitHub nowadays claims that BPMN.js is embedded into 2,200 openly available applications on the web doing whatever different things. 2,200, most of those we don't know of. That is a freaking number. That's an astonishing number. Some known places, for example, we also, as part of the BPMN.io project, we also host our own extension for Visual Studio Code, which you can install via the Visual Studio Code Marketplace. This is not a Camunda implementation extension, right? So it's not a Camunda extension for Visual Studio Code, but just for drawing BPMN diagrams. Other people as well. So there's actually a competing. So just recently, I think a community member published his own BPMN extension for Visual Studio Code. So there's even competition on who gets his BPMN editing into Visual Studio Code in a better, more convenient way. And all of those are, or many of those are powered by BPMN.js. There's also a lot, some competitors. For example, there is a Confluence plugin for BPMN, which is embedding BPMN.js, but not only BPMN.js, but a lot of the tooling that we're building around BPMN.js. So this is maybe something you ask, what is BPMN.io? And so I said, well, it's a combination of different modeling tools, BPMN.js, DMN.js, BOM.js, DMMN.js. That's not entirely true, because it's also a whole ecosystem around it. For example, it is BPMN.js, yes. But it's also a linting solution, a solution to validate your BPMN diagrams using configurable lint rules, which is something that in Java, you would call it sonar type, which would just check your Java source files and tell you the quality of your code, right? In JavaScript, everyone is used to ESLint and Prettier, auto-formatting, but also, you know, okay, improving the quality of a source. Well, it makes a lot of sense to have the same kind of infrastructure for BPMN. So we're providing that kind of infrastructure, not part of BPMN.js, but part of the wider ecosystem. We have our own engine, which I've pitched this year at Community Summit, if someone wants to follow along, which is a BPMN.js token simulation. It's basically a fully BPMN spec compliant token simulator. You can actually start the process in your browser, and then you can see how it walks through the diagram. Also, it forks when there's parallel gateways, and then it joins again, waits in places where it's supposed to wait, and you can drive the simulation forward as a user. Why would we build something like this? Interesting question, right? It goes beyond this basic, you have an editor and you have a viewer. Well, you would build it because our mission is to also empower people, right? By providing this kind of tooling, providing it open, providing it easy for you to embed, we make BPMN accessible to you as a user. In the past, you had to install a full appliance, or you had to buy Enterprise Architect or whatever different tools are out there to start with modeling BPMN. With BPMN.io, BPMN.js there, you just have to embed a single script tag. You have it, right? You can actually start. As a user, well, there's other aspects in terms of empowering the user. We build tooling that is not in your way, that is as intuitive as possible, that prevents common errors. For example, anything your model is always going to be valid BPMN. This is one of our design philosophies. And the same applies again for DMN, but also for forms. So there's no invalid states. It is not a drawing tool, but it's really a domain specific, like it really knows standard. But then there is this about BPMN is still complicated. So you have to understand this idea about token flow. So this is where stuff like the token simulation plugs in. By providing additional tooling that you can actually follow along the token, really play through this thing, it helps certain kinds of users, especially those getting started with BPMN, really dive into, okay, this is how execution would happen later on. So we're building a huge amount of tooling around the core, just editors and viewers.
What about for the last year? What's the highlight or highlights of BPMN IO over the last 12 months?
I would need to double check the, I think we're publishing some year in review blog posts usually. So for anyone who wants to follow along, bpmn.io/blog for some updates. There's also every time there's a little bit of summary what happened. But I think last year, I think the major part was getting Form.js into the BPMNIO family. Form.js is our library for intuitive modeling of forms. It's right now, you could call it just a little bit limited and also different from the other tools, BPMN.js, DMN.js. It's not actually based off a particular standard. But really, because there doesn't exist a standard, at least none that we know of that has, you know, wide adoption, we're basically building our own also data format stuff around it. But Form.js is really our solution to communicate in user task heavy automation and or documentation use cases, right? Form.js allows you to intuitively describe forms, inputs, outputs. So this is one of the biggest features that landed. Other than that, we're always continuing to work on the core libraries, making them more intuitive. For example, Diagram.js is the foundation of BPMN.js, but also the foundation of DMN.js. It's basically the core diagram library that our tools are being powered. It got the ability to have different layers. So what we did then in BPMN.js, we implemented drill down into embedded sub-processes, which is something that we didn't have for a long while, but a lot of people were asking for it. So this allows you to hide complexity from the diagram, right? And very conveniently just jump into a sub-process, which has its own implementation. This is the second one. And the third one is, just as a side note, this token simulation working on, yeah, actually now making it fully BPMN spec compliant simulator. So if you want to check that one out.
Awesome. Last question. I was looking on the blog and I saw NFT integration lands in BPMN.js. And I was like, I have to check this out. So I jumped in there and it turns out that it's an April Fool's notice. It's an April Fool's joke. But it's like so like now that it's the kind of thing where you're like, okay. It's like, I think it's called Poe's Law. It's like any sufficiently satirical version of something is indistinguishable from the real thing itself. You know, it's kind of like NFTs are everywhere now. Why not in BPMN.js? So yeah, how did this... Are you really going to do, does it really do NFT support or is it just you're joking that it does that?
Well, my question to you would be, because I guess you looked into our this year's April's Fool blog post, right? Or April 1st blog post, right? And with each of those April's Fool's blog posts, we would usually put up an April's Fool notice in the beginning of the blog post because people would otherwise confuse it for an actual feature. Right. So this was a little bit what you mentioned. Would you really have confused that one for an actual feature without the notice?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
So that's great. That's great because
100%. Yeah.
That is great because that's exactly the idea of our April Fool's jokes. You see, we started April's Fooling, I think 2014. Like, we started the project February, 2014. I think it was already like 3 months in we didn't have better things to do than just April's fooling around. Why would you do that? Well, first of all, I think that's awesome to drive people's engagement and also to think twice about certain things they want, and also very creative to look into certain use cases. So, for example, our first blog post was a very memorable one, like our first April's Fool, for two reasons. Like one of the reasons was because we were, if you look at BPMN.js and the modeling canvas, you see it's very clean, right? BPMN, it allows you to offer 150 elements or something overall. You can 150 different, like different kind of intermediate events, start events, but also activities and so on. But you look at the canvas, if you look at the palette and also at the context palette, like the one that is, if you have one element selected, it's very clean. So then in the beginning, people would actually argue, like, you can't hide all that stuff. How do I find certain things? How do I find this signal start event? And our answer is, well, you gotta learn how to find, and then you will quickly find it. You would do much more harm by showing all the 150 elements all the time. So our first April's Fool, which, by the way, it wasn't 2014, it was actually 2015. Our first April Fool was actually about, it was called BPMN 2.0 Modeling Revamped. And we would actually have a palette that showcases like 50 different elements and gets rid of a lot of our convenience around contextual modeling and replacing, like upgrading from a blank task to a signal, for example, start event. From a blank task to a service task, or like from a blank start event to a signal start event. So we're kind of joking, we're kind of making fun of this, but how do I find a certain thing? But on the other hand, it's also, it usually picks up user feedback and or certain trends. Or so this is basically what we do. In the next most noteworthy in terms of April's Fool, because I remember I did this, I set this one up, was working with a colleague at the time, Jörg, and Jörg wasn't aware. My boss at the time, Robert, now CRO at Camunda, wasn't aware. Jacob, CEO of Camunda, wasn't aware. So I've published this one, marketed it, and Jacob at the time was at BPM Next, which is a, I'm not sure if BPM Next is still a thing, but it was basically a meeting of the BPM vendors. Actually quite innovative stuff they were showcasing for there. So he was there doing a demo or a marketing, I'm not really sure. But he was actually calling from US right before he wanted to show the BPMN IO blog, and he read through this blog post and was like, Robert, interesting what you're doing there, but I'm not 100% sure this is good. We basically fooled him. He said, okay, you guys really know how to do it, but is this going in the right direction? He was very, it was great. It was great. And then Robert approached me. I was like, Nico, you know, Jacob called me and he's not 100% sure. Like, what are we doing? I basically fooled everyone. That was the best one. And if you start like this, you gotta keep going. And from there on, we basically published an April's Fool every year. At least we try to. And it gets more complicated every year because you've already touched upon so many things. And for NFT, why, like maybe because you mentioned NFT, why is NFT a good candidate for an April's Fool? Well, I mean, now just earlier this year, now the crypto market crashed, right? It's maybe not that cool of a thing anymore. But that wasn't the case on April the 1st. So, and also last year. Crypto, yeah, you can have this or that opinion on it, but it's a hype thing. And this NFTs hype, is also a very hype thing. And if you look at NFT as a technology, well, it's basically like you make public that you own a certain thing. And by making public that you own a certain thing, you also need to make public the thing that you're actually owning. Otherwise, there's little sense to brag about, I own something, but I don't show you what I own, right? So the idea here and the spirit of this blog was, well, we're going to use that as for BPMN interchange. So you're going to NFT your company's invoice process. But in order to brag about it, you got to make your company's invoice process public as well, which is obviously a no-no, right? Like this is this satire part of it. You're not going to do that because you're not going to open source the algorithms of your company usually. But if you want to brag about this at openly, I NFT my comp, you have to make that stuff public as well. Otherwise, there's a dissent in it. So we kind of parody this whole NFT thing in a way, but also try to combine it with certain desires that we have in the community. Because diagram interchange and collaboration, it's something very important. BPMN at the end, BPMN is about communication. It's about collaboration, right? So we always try to strike the balance. I think when pandemia, like the first year in the pandemia, when everyone was really worn out, and especially in Germany, we had kids at home a lot. I had kids at home. I couldn't help but create a kids at BPMN, kids at home edition, which would just be BPMN with child-friendly symbols. And then the case was like, before you get crazy with your children at home and juggling all the different responsibilities, well, just, you know, do a process meeting and discuss with them using BPMN.js. This is a process we're going to do. No more discussions, which is kind of, I think that it was first year in the pandemic when we did modeling kids at home edition. I think it's just, it's cool stuff. And it also means we're not, I mean, we're in a serious business. We're helping people a lot by building these tools for editing, understanding, viewing, embedding BPMN and related standards, but also we're still trying to not, what do we say in English? We're trying to not be too serious as well.
Yes, great. Any call to action for people? Any final words? Anything, how people can get involved, or would you like to leave people with?
If you're interested in Camunda at large, you will naturally get exposed to the new and noteworthy in BPMN.io. Because all the things that we built it for purpose. We built it for a need in our Camunda tools, but also in our BPMN.io community. But if you're interested in core modeling, like basically BPMN.io stuff, you can always follow along our Twitter, but also our website, which has an RSS feed, and follow along what we do. If you are using our tools and your feedback, don't forget we're open to feedback all the time. We really strive because of your feedback. So you can use BPMN.js, go to GitHub, open an issue. We'll be able to learn and improve based on your feedback. So that would be my biggest wish. Whenever you want us to change something, raise your voice on GitHub or on our forum, and then we can actually improve our tooling for the benefits of you, but also everyone in the.
Fantastic. Thanks for driving the BPMN.io project from the beginning and continuing to steward it and shepherd it through into the, you know, into this new decade. And thanks for coming on the podcast this month, Nico.
Thanks for having me.
Roll the credits! Audio engineering provided by Inclusion Audio Production. Check them out at inclusionaudio.com. And the soundtrack is provided by the legendary Japanese progressive house DJ Shingo Nakamura, courtesy of MonsterCat.com.